Welcome to your weekly English radio magazine on CJMQ 88.9 FM in Sherbrooke and CIDI 99.1 FM in the Lake Brome area. It's the Friday Drive, news commentary, 30-30 sports, arts and culture, and the interview of the week. Local events and issues for townshippers from townshippers. The Friday Drive starts right now with your host, Daniel Coulomb. 30-30 Sports on the Friday Drive.
Sports just a few weeks before Christmas. What is your favorite Christmas movie, John?
A Christmas Story.
Oh, A Christmas Story. Is that a fact?
Yeah.
Now, that's a very good choice. Elf is right up there for me. So there.
Yeah, Elf's a good one.
Okay. Lane Kiffin is all over the news. Would you be kind enough to take a couple of seconds and explain to us what did happen there?
Okay, so Louisiana State fired their head coach, Brian Kelly, a few weeks ago because he wasn't winning enough. And for the money they're paying him, they're expecting him to win all the games, and he wasn't doing it. So they let him go, and they decided to try to go after Lane Kiffin, who was the head coach at Ole Miss, Mississippi. So this sort of dance played out, and Florida was also after Lane Kiffin because college football coaches are always after the next job, or so it seems. I mean, this sort of continues. And then by last week, Ole Miss had given Kiffin a deadline of last weekend to decide whether he was staying or going. And so he decided on Sunday morning, after much prayer, he was going to go to LSU. So if you were hoping for something over the weekend and you prayed for it and it didn't happen, God was busy talking to Lane Kiffin about which Southern school's bag of cash he should take. So we're very sorry about that.
I thought God had his hands full with Pete Hegseth.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's a busy guy between the secretary of Fox News and helping college football coaches decide which Brinks truck needs to back up to them. So, and the funny thing about the timing is that this comes now as Ole Miss is going to make the college football playoff this year, potentially would have gone on a run, could have theoretically won the championship, and they may yet still. I mean, they're still a very good team. But this is the functional equivalent of Martin St. Louis deciding to leave for the Boston Bruins just before the playoffs start, and then getting sad and then getting kind of upset when the Canadians don't let him coach through the playoffs while he's also working for the Bruins. So it's, I mean, you put this into any other sport context and it's completely ridiculous, which is just your reminder that college football is completely ridiculous.
You've heard it here first, folks.
Better story to me is Penn State was going to hire Kalani Sitake from BYU. And then the Mormon Church and the CEO of Crumble Cookies got wind of it, intervened, the offer got matched, and now he's staying in Utah. So wow. Penn State lost their coach due to Big Cookie.
There you go. I was going to ask you about the upcoming weekend in football, but I need to talk to you about a couple of things I watched on Monday night with the Giants playing the Patriots. This Drake May kid is incredible.
He is really good. I mean, he turned the Patriots looked like a basket case the last few years, and he's come in and turned them completely around. He was 24 for 31 against the Giants. Now, the Giants are barely a football team, but still, that's hard to do even against a really good team.
I also have to bring to your attention that kerfuffle with the field goal from the Giants kicker.
Yeah, that may be the biggest field goal fail since Garo Yepremian tried to throw a pass in 1972.
How could that even happen?
So, I mean, I guess he must just have landed his plant foot in the wrong place and suddenly he ends up raising a bigger divot than the last time I went out golfing.
These things happen. Very quickly, we don't have a lot of time, but the Expos Baseball Project may have found a new investor where we've seen this before.
Yeah, it's Ashcan Carbers Frushan.
That was easy for you to say.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why you let me say it. He owns the video company Watch Mojo, which puts a lot of videos on YouTube of varying quality. But if he gets the Expos back, I swear I will watch all of them. You know, I mean, he's got money. The $64 million questions are, can he get a stadium built? You know, can he get MLB to listen to him? And it's going to be a long process. We know expansion is coming in MLB, but who knows when.
Major League Baseball is nowhere near wanting Montreal back at this stage.
Depends on how much money someone throws at them.
That's a good point. Talk to you at 5:30.
Yep, we'll see you then.
Of course there's music, but we also talk about a lot of issues that matter to you. You're listening to The Friday Drive on CJMQ 88.9 FM and CIDI 99.1 FM. A weekly news review on the Friday Drive.
Magog born and raised, Robert McPherson, journalist and editor who's worked extensively for Agence France-Presse, live from that township's hotbed in New York City. Thank you so much for being with me again this week. How's New York today?
New York is bright and sunny. Apparently it snowed yesterday. I understand you have snow back up there. I saw a picture on the Bishop's University Instagram feed today. I know, what, a couple of inches of snow up where you are now?
It seems to be snowing every day. Not a lot, just enough to make it complicated when you want to get into the car. You know what I'm saying?
I know we're going to be testing our friendship if I say I really would like to see another 2 or 3 feet of snow back in the townships.
You're a bad man. That's what I'm saying. Robert McPherson, Pete Hegseth, running the risk of overshadowing Donald J. Trump. We've seen how that kind of spotlight backfired on Elon Musk. He's bobbing boats all over the Caribbean. What's your take on it?
That is my take. I know I'm going out on a limb, but you know, the way I look at the Trump presidency is best seen as, and maybe we talked about this last week, it's best seen as a reality TV show, the ultimate reality TV show starring Donald Trump with all these multiple little subplots going on here, there, and everywhere. You know, bizarre range of characters from Hegseth, RFK Jr., Christy Nome, et cetera, et cetera. You know, in the case of Elon Musk, there was so much attention going towards him that I think is sort of, you know, the star of the show and the executive producer, Donald Trump, doesn't want to have too much of a spotlight put on any of his supporting cast. This is why I'm thinking with, you know, Pete Hegseth, with his track record of group telephone calls that accidentally include the editor of the Atlantic magazine, for instance, or his convening every general and admiral in the U.S. military to Washington to tell them to stop being politically correct, and all these kind of sensational little things. In this case of what happened in Caribbean now, and we've got all this military might competing, you know, in the direction of Venezuela, no one's really sure why or what they're doing or what they're supposed to do. It's sort of like they don't seem to have any plan, except they seem to foretell things that don't happen. Now we've had this most recent case, of course, of firing upon the survivors of a U.S. military attack on suspected narco-terrorists. And Pete Hegseth saying that when this happened, he was out of the room, saying, oh, it was all this admiral's idea to do this follow-up attack, which some might say is potentially a war crime. That's kind of the narrative seems to be going off the rails there. So, and it's sort of garnering a lot of attention. Well, I think we'll see in the coming days. It's worth following, seeing what exactly all this strange military activity and sudden interest in Venezuela, what that leads to. I would rather see more interest in what's happening in Ukraine, but which seems to have gone a little quiet this week as the negotiations continue on trying to at least stop the shooting in that conflict. And that's certainly a more consequential situation than what's happening in Venezuela, I'd say right now.
Well, I'll tell you, Mr. Trump is working real hard. He's nodding off at every get-together these days, it seems.
Oh, that's so rather embarrassing. Probably has too much Jeffrey Epstein things on his mind. Interesting little thing came up this week as sort of the House Democrats released some more materials from the Epstein files. Actually, a whole portfolio of pictures and videos of the late financier's island paradise in the Caribbean. It looks like a very sandy place. Lots of little buildings around. There's a picture of his bathroom with a little settee inside and all the gardens. But here's the stopper. There's a picture of a dental suite, like a dentist chair, these kind of strange masks of male figures, you know, pinned around the wall, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 of them. I mean, is this kind of the ultimate rich guy's accessory, is having your own private dental clinic on a Caribbean island?
Wow.
Tell me.
I want to know, but I don't want to know. Yeah. Stephen Gilbo resigned his minister's position this week in protest over Carney's continued support of Alberta and a pipeline through BC. Robert, is the environmental movement, I mean, is it dead or it has to face reality? Oil isn't vanishing overnight.
It's not dead by any means. There's a very vibrant industry of pressure groups that still want to put keeping the climate on the front burner. And then we have a whole variety of countries as well. In some cases, you know, climate change is an existential threat, particularly here of small island states in the Pacific. And certainly we can see right at home in the townships how the climate has changed. Those of us of a certain age can remember how different the winters and the summers have been. Just consider the drought that the townships experienced this year, just 2 years after having so much rainfall back in 2023. Environmental movement over just because of a pipeline decision? which I think has to do with obviously placating Alberta, a lot of discontent in Alberta that is not able to get its most valuable resource to market. But we have to concede also that despite what the most militant activists would like to see, oil is, fossil fuels are not going to disappear overnight. There's going to be a transition period, especially as new technologies pick up. So it took probably several decades for the transition from hard coal to oil to happen. And I think as we transition to new forms of energy, that again will be a process that takes some time.
You grew up in the Eastern Townships. French is something you know a lot about. New Minister Mark Miller suggested that while it's fragile, it's not because immigrants don't speak French at home that real souche Québécois should be concerned. What's your thought on that?
You know, Quebec has such a small birth rate. You know, one could wonder that, you know, French is on decline in Quebec because the number of people who speak French is, in Quebec is declining. No one should expect, you know, immigrants to come to Quebec and with the intent of saving French language and culture in Quebec. I think he's off to a ham-fisted start, if I could be that bold to say that. But to say that, you know, he's fed up with how politicized the language issue is. It is politicized, whether he likes it or not. I would have liked to have seen someone in a bit more of a listening mold and a bit more of a in a conciliatory mode than obviously to stake out a position so firmly right at the outset of his portfolio. It puts him off on a bad start, I think. And I've seen that the follow-up interviews that he's given in French, he's actually come out very defensive about basically himself, his own personal relationship with the French language. He's off to a bad start there.
Mr. Legault did not have some kind words for him yesterday. Speaking of Mr. Legault, and I know you've read about this extensively, Quebec doctors' reaction to CAQ's Bill 2, which is basically forcing doctors to work more for the pay. In your mind, Legault's position, is he basically, you know, putting some smoke and mirrors on the fact that he may be a political dead man walking at this stage?
Okay, I'll be honest, I don't know the details of Bill 2, except a kind of my superficial reading of it is that Legault is almost, as a former business executive, he kind of looking at the doctors as kind of his, you know, fleet of bicycle riding delivery boys and girls and Uber drivers. And can we squeeze more production out of the team that we've got in place now? Obviously, he doesn't want to invest anymore in healthcare, which is what is really required. Instead, Bill 2 seems to be all about trying to squeeze out more production out of existing resources. For Legault itself, I don't know. The writing's on the wall for this CAQ government. It's certainly barring a remarkable Carney-like turnaround. You know, the CAQ is really in danger of just a total wipeout at the next election. And I think with Bill 2 or this constitution idea or the hijab laws or the language laws, I think Premier Legault is probably doing what he thinks he has to do to preserve at least a base for the CAQ to ensure that the CAQ isn't completely erased from the face of Quebec politics at the next election. That's just my wild guess. We shall see.
Interesting perspective from somebody who deals with London and New York and many other places as well. Uber driver and doctor. Now, there's something I never thought of before. Magog born and raised Robert McPherson, the journalist and editor who's worked extensively for Agence France-Presse. Thank you. Have a great weekend. And we speak next week.
And don't forget, I've also had started learning my ropes at the Sherbrooke Record.
I know Mrs. McCulley is listening. Thank you for reminding
Canada's
us of that.
Canada's greatest journalism school is the Sherbrooke Daily Record.
Amen. Have a great weekend.
You too. Let's hope we'll talk next week. Who knows from where.
If you have any comments or questions regarding what you hear on today's show, email us at cjmqnews@yahoo.ca.
Try, 'cause my favorite day is coming. Christmas. Can we make it to Christmas? Something about the snow this time of year that makes us lose our way. Just say we'll make up and hold on a little longer. Don't have me spending it alone. This time of year is precious. Break my heart on Boxing Day, just please. Can we make it to Christmas?
Time for your weekly information from the Lake Brome, Missisquoi area on the Friday Drive.
CIDI's Shelley Meisner right now reporting from the Brome, Missisquoi region with stories for you from this week. Shelley, so good to talk to you. How are you?
I'm actually fabulous. Thank you very much for asking.
And while we're there, tell me all about Cash. How's he doing?
Cash is really the local celebrity now. He has become the official mascot at Knowlton Academy and the CIDI radio station. So he's very much looking forward to this weekend as it's the Santa Claus parade here in town.
See, Shelley, you're the perfect spokesperson. Cash is the local celebrity, and I'm really comic relief. That's really all I am. Let's talk about the Santa Claus parade. It is big and it's coming.
Yeah, well, this is the first year where CIDI has actually stepped up and asked for the library, museum, and the theater to co-create and have the four pillars of culture be represented on one float for the parade. So we're little busy bees, and we've got a whole bunch of volunteers that have donated their trucks and the trailers and bales of hay and all kinds of decorations. And tomorrow morning, we will all get busy and create a float for everybody to ride. And it'll be the first time with banners that have all four logos of the library, the museum, and the theater and CIDI to be able to show not just the municipality, but also to the community. The strength of our community is, in fact, the level of culture that we have and the richness that we have here.
You're part of the board of directors. How proud are you how this station has evolved over the past couple of years?
Well, considering that we had quite a few years prior to my arrival of having big losses, we haven't got losses anymore. We're breaking even, and we're on the growth pan, I guess we could say. We're looking to have 26 shows by 2026, and we're well on our way. I think we have 19 different shows now, including 3.5 French shows, which we're pretty proud of.
There's a lot to be proud of. What about CIDI personalities? Who else might be there this weekend?
Oh, I believe that most of the station hosts will be there, as well as the board and the staff. I think pretty much everybody has said that they're going to step up. We'll have Bushy, the Ivan from the Ivan Hour, and of course, Tony, our station manager, and Virginie, who is our new latest addition, who's really wonderful. She's going to be working on a membership drive, which we're hoping to promote and collaborate with these other cultural institutions.
You are as busy as ever. You've got the parade this weekend. How are your holidays looking right now?
Well, that's this weekend, and next weekend we have Midnight Madness, and we're looking to open a big fire pit out front and invite people in for hot chocolate. So it's going to be a busy couple of weeks, actually.
Shelley Meisner and Cash, along with a lot of other people from CIDI. Listen to CIDI on 99.1 FM and check the website, CIDI991.com. Have you more interesting things to talk about at this stage?
I would love to talk about the fact that Cash has been a very institutional change for the Knowlton Academy. He's working with the children on the spectrum, which has had an incredible effect. He greets every child as they walk into the school first thing in the morning. And I can't tell you who is happier, him, the children, or the people that have the privilege to witness it.
Shelley and Cash, you are forces of nature. Thank you so much and have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks.
Township's Friday night weather, cloudy periods, low minus 13. Tomorrow, a mix of sun and cloud, high minus 4. Saturday night, clouds, 30% chance of flurries, low minus 9. Sunday, sunny, high minus 9. Long range Monday, sunshine, high minus 11 degrees. Ed Humphrey, just past 5 o'clock with things to do, places to see here in the townships. The 5:10 interview of the week. Very special one. Mike McDevitt, who hosted the News Review segment for over 5 years right here, passed away 2 weeks ago. One final interview with him from early August 2025. Mike McDevitt, one last time coming up at 5:10 today. 5:30 Sports, John Edwards. 5:40 Arts and Culture with Sonia Patnode. All on the Friday Drive. CJMQ 88.9 FM, CIDI 99.1 FM.